day is it today?
Sunday.
Sunday, yeah, okay. Is that all? Just Sunday? You're not very romantic, you lot, are you? Eh? Not a Valentine in sight. Eh? It's Valentine's Day. You know, when young love blooms and an old love sends cards and flowers and... That's right, Charles. Yeah. You know, and the world sort of counts it as a special occasion, don't they? You know, and there's this, all these presents are bought and cards are bought and everybody's lovey-dovey and all nice to one another today. Tomorrow might be another day. So I thought it would be a good idea just to speak on the law of love. The law of love. Amen?
Yes.
Question to you. Why did God create man? I can hear the cogs whirring, Ellie. Why did God create mankind? Worship Him. It's one thing. Fellowship.
Relationship.
To have a love relationship with God. You say, well, why does God want to be fellowshipping and having a love relationship with us? Surely He's God. Well, we're going to look into that. We're going to look more into who, what, how God is.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
Turn with me, if you will, to John's Gospel, chapter 13. And verse 34. John's Gospel, chapter 13, and verse 34. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus is speaking to His disciples. Are you His disciple?
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you a follower of Jesus?
Yeah.
So you're one of His disciples. And this is what Jesus said. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you.
Amen.
That you also love one another.
Amen. Yeah.
That can be very challenging. To love somebody who's maybe done you wrong. And yet Jesus says, love one another.
Yeah.
Grace told us about the prodigal of being forgiven.
Yeah.
And the brother not forgiving.
Yeah.
That's not loving one another, is it? And so Jesus sets a new standard for us to rise to. A new goal for us to aim for. Because basically it's a little bit, if you don't do what I want you to do, then I'm not going to love you anymore. That's not what it says. It says love one another as I have loved you.
Yeah.
Jesus loved us in our sin.
He did.
Jesus loved us as sinners. God loves us as sinners.
Yes.
He hates the sin that controls our lives. But the human race, God loves it. Because God made it.
Yes.
And He loves it so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die upon a cross.
Yep.
So that we could actually reconnect with God.
Amen.
And that God could connect with us. Because the problem is that God does not want to stay away from you. It is the sin that is in our life and the sinfulness of our life that doesn't allow God to be able to come near us. Because when God comes in, when God appears, sin is burnt up. Sin begins to disappear. And you see, God does not want to see you and I burn up. God wants to see you so that literally like today when we come around the Lord's table and you go and you fellowship with one another and you hug one another, God wants to be able to hug you. God wants to have a closeness with you. But our sin prevents us. Our sinful nature prevents us having that relationship. And so that's why Jesus came and died upon a cross, so that he could cleanse us, make us anew. Soon spring will be here. Hallelujah. Warmer weather. Butterflies will beginning to flit around, won't they? And yet those butterflies at this stage, many of them could be in a form, in a chrysalis somewhere, deep in the ground, an ugly looking thing. But when that time comes, there is a change.
Yeah.
The world calls it a metamorphosis.
Yeah.
A total change, a total transformation.
Amen.
From that ugliness into that beauty of a butterfly. I know for a fact at the moment in my garage I have a butterfly somewhere hanging in the roof. It's gone to sleep. I don't know whether it'll wake up and live. I'm not sure. I shall wait and see. But you see, God wants you and I to arise and to awake into the things of God. And God wants you and I to realize that he loves us. A new commandment, he says, I give to you. This one is going to top them all. This sets the standard of everything you want. If you love somebody, you won't steal from them. If you love somebody, you won't seek to hurt them. You forgive them. So love begins to move. When love begins to move in our lives like the love of God, we begin to see things change. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus loved his disciples. He loved Peter even when he failed him. Peter's all, you know, give me a sword. I'll fix these Roman soldiers. They'll never take you, Jesus. I'll be by your side no matter what happens. And then a little girl comes along, round about the age of Near or Dear, Ellie or Abby, and says, you're one of his disciples. The next thing is cursing and swearing and blaspheming, and said, I've never heard of the man, don't know who you're talking about, never been near him, and total denial. It's a girl. It's a young girl. A servant girl. And yet Jesus asks specifically for Peter. He tells Peter, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. That's love.
It is. Yeah.
Knowing the fact that Peter is absolutely going to deny you.
Yeah.
And yet he says, I'm praying for you.
Amen.
I'm praying for you because I love you.
Yeah.
Love in the family of God is a law.
Yes.
It's a dynamic spiritual law in the family of God. If we, as the family of God, step out of love, what do we step into? We step into sin. She's starting to preach my message. She's jumping in front. We step out of the love of God and we step into sin.
Yeah.
We step out of that relationship that God has given to us. And you know, when we realize that we've stepped out, one of the most important things is that we do is that we suddenly turn around, repent.
Yeah.
Repent means turn from your sin.
Yeah.
And turn to God.
Amen.
And we need a time to quickly repent, turn back to God, get back into that relationship, let that relationship be restoring us into a relationship and a fellowship with God.
Yeah.
And it keeps our relationship right with the Father.
Amen.
And when our relationship is right with Father God, because He loves us and He's forgiven us so much, then we can love others. And it is so important that we keep our relationship right with Jesus. And in doing so, it enables us to love the unlovely.
Yeah.
It enables us to love those who are not really nice at times. It gives us the strength and the ability to forgive one another. That's what love does. Love forgives. You do something wrong as a child, and a loving parent has two choices. Says, well, I think we're going to have to, you know, bring out the tutor that directs us back to God and brings the belt out or the stick, and we sort of cower in a corner thinking, oh no, not that again. Why, Dad? Why, Mum? Or I used to get the threat, you wait while your dad comes home. Does that ring a bell? Hey? You wait while your dad comes home. And you think, oh no. Oh, Mum, don't tell me that. No, Mum, I'll be good, Mum. I'll be good, Mum. Please, Mum, forgive me, Mum, you know. Please, I won't do it again, Mum, you know. Well, all right, this time, I'll forgive you. And then Mum gives us a hug, and we hug Mum back, and everything's okay, ain't it? No? It will be after I've finished preaching, don't worry. But that's true love, you see. Sometimes love does actually bring out the discipline. Love is not soft. The love of God is not soft. Right? So often today, the world type of love is soft. It's flaky. Many times it has little or no substance. Many times the love of this world, and like today, there'll be many flowers bought for loved ones. But in a few days, those flowers will have faded away and been thrown in the trash. And so often, the love that the world seeks to give out soon fades away and is cast to one side. That's not true eternal love. That's not lasting love. That's not the love that God is talking about. That's not the love that Jesus is referring to when he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. You see, today the world lives in an unbalanced atmosphere. Everything's rocking and it's not stable. Let's turn to James chapter 3. the book of James and chapter 3 and verse 12. James chapter 3 and verse 12. And he says, can a fig tree produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water and fresh water come from a spring. Salt water, fresh water does not come from the same source. What is James trying to say to the early church? He's trying to say to them, the lifestyle that you live, the relationship that you and I have with the Lord Jesus, brings one thing out of us. There cannot be evil things coming out of us, bitter and twisted words coming out of us, and then suddenly nice, pleasant words later on. It's either one or the other. In John Gospel and chapter 15, it talks about being connected to the vine. That we're grafted into the vine, and that the life of the vine begins to flow through that very branch. And as the branch receives the life from the vine itself, it produces fruit.
Yeah?
Yeah. And so for you and I, the things we say, the things we do, the way we live should come from God. Through God, through Jesus living in us. But if we're not careful, we get caught up by the world system and the things that are going on in the world. And it's so easy for young people in particular. I've fallen out with you. I'm not talking to you anymore because you looked at me funny. It's like, what? And this can be how petty relationships and friendships can be. How insecure people are today. People are looking for something that is stable. People are looking for a firm foundation where they can establish their lives. They're looking for stability. They'll not tell you that. But many homes live in much disarray. Many homes live in turmoil. Many homes live with arguments raging constantly within the family, with disagreements. And then all of a sudden, they change. Oh, it's Valentine's Day. I bought you some flowers and I bought you chocolates and I don't want them. You've hurt me. And I'll never forgive you. I've heard Christians say, I'll never forgive that person. Never is a long time. And that then moves us into disobedience to the Word of God. Because the Word of God says, forgive. The Lord's Prayer, Father, forgive us our trespasses, our wrongdoings, as I forgive others. So if I decide I'm not going to forgive you, then God says, well, guess what? I'm not going to forgive you. Whoa. That means I've got to straighten up a bit too. That means now I have to forgive you. And in forgiving you, I receive God's forgiveness to me. I've made a way for God to be able to forgive me. Whereas if I'm unforgiving, I put a roadblock up that says, no forgiveness. No forgiveness. And at that point of no forgiveness, God is stood there and it's no way through.
No.
You put the sign up.
Yes.
You put the roadblock up in your life. You have to take it down.
Amen.
And say, I will forgive.
Amen.
I will live a life of forgiveness.
Amen.
Because God has forgiven me. But so many families live with this, and we in this area of Yorkshire know of the time when the miners' strike was on. Many years ago now, some of you weren't even born then. What is it now? Is it 30 or 40 years? How many? 1984. You weren't born. 1984. Miners' strike. The place was in uproar. And yet there are still families. There were people who said, I need to go to work to keep my family. And they went to the mines. And they were called them. There were blacklegs and all sorts of names they gave them. And there are people to this day that still will not speak to somebody since 1984.
Yeah.
That's not forgiveness.
No.
That's not love. And it breeds a hatred. It breeds a resentment in people's lives. And society falls apart. You see, hatred is like a wedge. When people are close together, if somebody begins to drive the wedge of hatred, sowing seeds of, did you hear what so-and-so said about you? Immediately, you start to think negatively.
Yeah.
That they've said some bad things about me. Did you know what Grace said about you the other day?
No.
No. Oh. Now you don't know what she said, do you? You don't know it was good. You don't know it was bad, do you?
No.
You're not sure, are you? Was it good, do you think? Really? What do you think?
I don't know.
You see? Now you don't know. But what you have to think for a moment is, you know Grace. And then the question you have to ask yourself, would Grace say anything bad against you?
No.
There you go. There's your answer, you see. It's learning to love and to trust one another. The Bible tells us don't gossip. You know, if somebody comes along and says, Hey, I've got some gossip. Let me tell you what so and so. What are you gonna do? Say what? Well, so you're going to listen then? Huh? Or are you going to say, I don't want to know?
I don't want to know.
Are you sure you don't want to know? It's really juicy gossip. Really is. Would you like me to tell you? Huh? You want to know, do you? Oh, tell me. Tell me. I don't want to know. I've had people ring me up and say, let me tell you about so-and-so that started coming to your church. Don't want to know. Unless you want to tell me when they are present with us together. Forget it. It's true. I've had that done, you know. Oh, let me tell you. You know, I could tell you a few things about so-and-so, you know. And then you say, no, okay, let's go and see them together and then tell me.
Get scared.
Oh, don't they? Just because, do you know something? In truth, there is no truth.
No.
And we who love Jesus want to hear the truth. That's right. We want to be listening to the truth. Gossips, tittle-tattle, you know. The newspapers, the magazines that are in the newsagents, they're full of gossip. Most of it's not true. You see, truth and good things that are happening in the world do not come on the news at 6.
No.
They don't come on the news at 10.
No.
The good things that are happening around the world, and there must be millions and billions of them, do not hit the news headlines. Do they? Murders, robberies, rape, killings, etc. Disasters, and so on and so on. They all catch the news. But how many newspaper wants to read about young ladies giving their hearts and lives to Jesus just after Christmas, and a change in their lives, and that there's a joy and there's a peace in their life because of what Jesus done? How many newspapers want to print that? None. No. Just the other day I saw something on Facebook, which was the Vatican have opened its some vault area, and in 2006, and they found some ancient manuscripts. I don't think really they know what they've got in there at times. And they asked somebody to go in, who was a specialist, and he began to sift through this area. And he discovered some historical documents written by a Roman historian who lived at the time of Jesus Christ. And he travelled the Roman Empire documenting the events that were happening. And he documents an event in a town in Israel where this man named Jesus the Nazarene was. And it documents an event that this Jesus took up a child which had been stillborn. It was a child of a lady called Elizabeth. And he took it up in his arms. And he says, he uttered a prayer in the Aramaic language. And suddenly the child began to wriggle and cry. And he gave the baby back to its mother. It's not in your Bible. It's not in the news. It's an historical document. The Bible says not everything that Jesus did is documented in this scripture. There were thousands and thousands of things that Jesus has done that are not recorded in this Word of God that we have. This is just a glimpse. This is a small insight of what. Yeah, come on, this is exciting, you see. This is, you know, this Bible to some degree is a little bit like a drop in the ocean of God. Right? You know. We read the Word of God and we see that Adam lived for over 900 years. We know little or much about him, apart from he and his wife went and ate from the wrong tree. He and his wife were disobedient. That's what it means. They just chose to do something that they were asked not to do. They became disobedient, and sin, because of our disobedience, sin comes into our lives. Because of our rebellion, sin comes into our lives, and it created hatred. Within a short few years, one of the brothers kills the other brother out of jealousy and envy. Yeah. And it's continued since then. Yeah. So often we see that in our own world things are twisted and manipulated around, and just for people to get their own way. You know, it's only a small light, won't matter much, will it? You know, and they twist things and turn things around. And the Bible says, can fresh water and salt water come out the same stream? No. You either get fresh water or you're going to get salt water. One of the two. Both can't come. So from you and me, can good come from us? And then can wicked and cursing and bad things come from us? So often we see people who live their lives a little bit like that in the world. They try and be good, but they always seem to gravitate back to this nasty lifestyle. Because that which is in them pulls them back. The evil that the world has placed into our lives, that the devil has tried to create within us through sin, pulls us back. But you know, when Jesus comes into our lives and we begin to walk the walk with Jesus, we get to that place where we speak and we live the love of God. And people see the love of God in our lives. People see God moving in our lives. They look at you and think, there is something different about you. What is it? And that what is it is Jesus. Amen. It is Jesus in my life. Problem with the world today, it is selfish. Self-centered.
Yeah.
Self-satisfying. It has to be all about me. That's what the world says. It's all about me. It's not about you. It's about me. Isn't that right? Yeah?
No.
See, God's a giving God. God said He loves us. So He's giving to us. So it's all about God's love giving. God's love is a giving, not a demanding. When somebody loves you, you automatically respond to them in love and kindness, don't you? If somebody is abrupt towards you, the world's nature is to respond and, come on then, bring it on. Yeah, come on. Isn't it? That's the old nature. But the nature of God says, I love you. I love you. Even when the world comes against them, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. I'm not going to forgive them. Turning the other cheek is to forgive. It's all about you and I trying to be the center of attention. That's not what it's about. That's not what God wants for us. God wants us to be in relationship with Him, so that in one sense we get lost in God.
Yeah.
We're so lost in God that we forget about ourselves. There's a song that we sing, so let's forget about ourselves and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, so there are so many people can have problems in their emotional life because they're concentrating upon themselves. It's all about me and my problems, my difficulties. But no, it's not about you. It's not about that. It's about us in relationship with God. We in relationship with God and knowing the peace of God in our lives. But the world lives in this unbalance of turbulence going on constantly all over the place. But the question then comes is, how shall the world know that you and I are different? How shall the world know that you and I are different? That's the challenge. Unless they hear, unless they see, they'll never get to know about Jesus. Abby, Ellie, how did you get to know about the Lord Jesus? Sorry, again?
You, preached about Him to us. It's like, we were drawn into it.
You were drawn into it because Dear started to talk to you about and tell you about Jesus and about her relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so you got interested, did you? And you thought, oh, this sounds...
It's like, just to see how, one person could be so loving and forgiving to just wipe out all, the horrible things you've done.
Wow. It's a great testimony, that. To be able to look at somebody and see the difference in their lives, what the Word of God has made, and a relationship with the Lord Jesus, and how loving and forgiving that person has become, and they're prepared to wipe out and to be forgiving, in a nutshell, is what you said, yeah? I'm doing it for the sake of the tape. That is an astounding testimony. And what that does, and what it has done,
yeah,
it has drawn,
yeah,
other people,
amen,
into a relationship, yeah, with the Lord Jesus Christ. They've begun to walk the pathway of salvation.
Yeah.
They've begun to walk the pathway into the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
And they've begun to experience the love of God. Yeah?
Yes.
Is it any good? Okay, I got a yes.
Yes.
It's good.
It's good.
And I'll tell you this. I've been walking it for 40 odd years, believe it or not. And it gets better.
Amen.
Every day.
Yeah.
Some folks say, well, not be long before you get bored with it. I tell you, you keep Jesus in the center. You stay focused on Jesus. You won't get bored. You won't have time to get bored. You know, if you say, aren't you bored being a Christian? No, I don't have time to get bored being a Christian. I've got so many things that I'm involved in the things of God. And just having a relationship and talking to the Lord and just letting God direct me and lead me. And it's like, this is, wow, so exciting. And the future is so bright and powerful. You know, we're going to be going off to Romania in May. You know, people say, we need you to come, we need you to come, we need you to come. You've got to come, you've got to come. And I'm like, yeah, I want to come, I want to come, I want to come. I'd go now. Got too many things to do. But God, you see, there are so many opportunities. You see, I've got a family in Romania, but I'm not Romanian. I've got a family in Nepal, but I'm not Nepalese. I've got family in America, but I'm not American. But I have this Christian family. And the moment that you connect with somebody in Christ Jesus, they suddenly take you in as family. I have a family in Tennessee. Grace and I have a family in Tennessee. We're not related by blood, naturally, but we're related by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we met them. Well, I met him first. Some in 1980... 1990, somewhere in that region. And a year later, I met him again. And he invited us to his house. And we went and met his three beautiful children. And suddenly, we just were like brother and sister. And we still are like brother and sister. The kids treat us like aunts and uncles, call us, they say we're part of the family, keep in touch with us, I baptised the son, I married one of the daughters off, and you know, and baptised the husband of one of the girl, you know, just we led them to the Lord, and it's like, just part of the family. Yet, you know, they're like 3,000 or 4,000 miles away, but it's my family. I can literally jump on a plane now, and give them a phone call, say, I'm on my way. They say, great, we'll pick you up at the airport. What time? I think, wow. Why? It's because of the love of God. A new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. And that love goes beyond, that love's not selfish, not saying, well, if you love me first, then I'll love you. That's not what Jesus is saying. Give love. Give love. Love your enemies. Love those that hate you and despise you. Now that's a challenge, isn't it? Well, they don't like me, so why should I like them? That's what the world says. They don't want to bother with me, so why should I bother with them? Yeah, when Jonah went to, you know, was commanded to go to Nineveh, he says, "You are," he says, "that lot, horrible people." He says, "They deserve to die. Burn them up, God, burn them up. Just destroy the city. Drop an atom bomb or something on them and just wipe them all out. Get rid of them." God says, "No. I'm going to give them an opportunity, a chance to hear the good news."
Amen.
You know, Jonah was so mad. He went through Nineveh and preached for 30 days or so and 40 days. He was so mad. The city completely repented, asked for God's forgiveness, gave their lives back to God, and he's like, "I don't believe this." See, he said, he went and found a tree. We've got a tree here. And he went and sat underneath the tree for some shade. And he was so mad that his anger and his bitterness and his resentment ended up the tree withered and died. And he'd no shade. Take a note of this. Anger and bitterness, resentment will destroy your precious covering. Just throw that one out. That just came as, because that's not in my notes or anything. Anger, bitterness and resentment, all those things are rooted in the demonic forces, will destroy the covering that God has placed over your life. You see, when we come to Jesus, God puts a covering, a protection over us. He says in Colossians that we are surrounded by a wall of protection. A fortress surrounds us. That's God. When you give your life to Jesus, suddenly God says, "I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be with you." But it's about staying in that relationship with Him. It's about keeping close to Him and Him close to you. You know, God says, "I've got this fortress to keep you and keep you safe." And then we say, "Okay, God." And then we step outside it and then we wonder why we get shot at. It's like, well, you just stepped outside from the protection and the covering that I gave to you. So how can the world see that we're going to be different? Let's go back to John's Gospel, chapter 13. John's Gospel, chapter 13, and verse 35. And he says this, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." If we have a choice. Yeah? That "if" says that we have a choice. Are we going to love those people who are the unlovely? Are we going to love the drug addicts, the alcoholics, those that are desperate, those that don't know Jesus Christ? Are we going to welcome them and show them the love of Jesus? Or are we just going to keep them at arm's length and just say, you know, "Stay there, don't come near us"? Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs an opportunity to take Jesus into their heart and lives. Everybody needs an opportunity to be able to change. And so people need to see Jesus. And the only way some of these people can see Jesus is by looking at you and me. Because some of them, and believe it or not, in our day, this seems unbelievable, some of them can't read. You think, what? We're supposed to have this fantastic education system, and yet there are quite a number of people that cannot read. We had just the other night in Teen Challenge a young lady, I think it was Daniel or or somebody told me that there was this girl, and she said she couldn't read. And it's a girl that we know that comes into Teen Challenge, and she said she can't read, and somebody gave her a small Gospel of John, and suddenly she began to read. And she said, I've just read the Bible. That's what changes people's lives. This book, this Jesus, changes people's lives. How shall the world know that we are different? By we loving one another, forgiving one another. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes somebody might say something that we don't like. Well, tough, get over it. Leave the fence, leave the gate. Don't walk off and get offended. So, well, okay. But it's just... So it's so easy today for people to get offended and go somewhere else, and that's all. It's fine. But that offence will follow you. It will continually keep dogging you until you deal with yourself of being offended. You know, you see, I could turn to Dilip and say, Dilip, you offended me. You know? And Dilip could say, what did I do? I didn't realise I'd done it. I had no idea. And you see, we can be offended by somebody. They don't even know they've offended us. So they can't even apologise to us, because we won't have anything to do with them. What a stupid way. Have you noticed it happens? It happens in schools. You know, the kids are so immature these days. They're educated, but they're immature. They're educated, but they're not wise. They're stupid, actually. Sorry, girls, but, you know. And the boys, you know. Boys are even worse than the girls. Oh, we know that, don't worry. Yeah. That's why they're getting to do more stupid things. But you see, we have to learn to forgive people. And if I've offended Dilip, then he has to deal with that offence. Because maybe there's some pride in him that God has to just wheedle out. You know? You said this to me. He's like, what? Huh? I don't remember saying that. Well, that's what I thought you said, you know. And it's like, well, you thought, but why don't you talk to me about it? Yeah, well, I'm offended. You know. It's pride. We can all say things and they can be misunderstood. Can't they? You know, in a moment you say something and maybe you didn't realise you snapped at somebody because you were that busy doing something else. But we've got to just be aware, and we've got to be open and honest with one another and love one another, and then the world will see that we're different. We don't carry a grudge. We forgive. And as we forgive quickly, God forgives us quickly. You see, the love of God is divine. The God kind of love is not selfish. It doesn't think about itself. It's unselfish love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the great thing. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John chapter 3. And verse 16. God's love is a giving love. The kind of love that solves problems. God's love reaches out to you and to me to solve problems. To put us on the right pathway. God's love comes to seek and to comfort and to lift us up. Yeah. not to put us down. God's love is there to encourage us and to move us forward. You know, we are the children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're His kids. And He loves us and He wants to be around us and He wants us to be around Him. He wants us to have a relationship and He wants us to realize and to release us into the love and the power of God in our lives. You see, today the love of Valentine's Day comes out of the natural emotions and feelings. Today I feel happy, today I feel good, you know. Sun's been shining, I'm happy, I love you, you know. And then suddenly one day we wake up in the morning and we don't feel too good. It's cold outside, it's a grey day and I've got a headache and I don't care and I'm not bothered and don't care what you think or, you know. And suddenly we become grumpy and miserable and offensive. And it's like, whoa, hang on. These are emotions. This is not the love of God that stands, that says, no matter what's happening, I will love. No matter what's going on, I will love. And we will stand. You see, the love of God is not natural. The love of God is not, it's not governed by the circumstances around us, but the love of God is from the Spirit. And so no matter what's going on, that love will stand. And we feed our love. We feed on the love of God from the Bible. It teaches us how to love and why we should love and why we should be kind to one another. Because in being kind to one another, we encourage one another. We give each other a lift up in the things of God. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8. It was ably read to us by Nia earlier. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. I preached a message one time of that literally, if you were able to cut God open, what you would see are the words love. Yeah. You know, we have, you go to the seaside and you pick up a stick of rock. If it's Scarborough, Bridlington, and it says on the end, it says Bridlington, doesn't it? And you keep chopping pieces off on as you chop your way through it, it still says Bridlington, doesn't it? All the way through. And so, even to the very last piece that you take, you know where the rock came from. Bridlington. Yeah? Spiritual love comes from God. And it's the love of God stamped all over it. The experience that you and I can get. For God is love. Verse 12 says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides, God dwells in us. And His love is being perfected in us. So there is a process that is going on in our lives. You are not perfect yet. Yet that's the... You see, you caught it, didn't you? You see? Because some folk would say, he just said to me, I'm not perfect. You see, people can sometimes hear what they want to hear. But you heard it all. And you heard the most important word that came out, yet. In other words, the process is continuing. The process is ongoing. I am not perfect yet. Okay? As your pastor, I am not perfect yet. But I'm on the journey. And I may upset you sometimes. Well, I'll say it now. I'm sorry, but I'm not perfect yet. But I'm on the journey. And so you have to forgive me as I have to forgive you.
Amen.
Because guess what? You are not perfect
yet.
But you're on the journey. The process is ongoing in our lives. Husbands and wives need to let the love of God dominate their life. It's all right saying, well, it happens in the world today. People are in love. I just saw the other day in Gary Lineker. Him and his wife are splitting up after 6 years or so. Why? She wants to have a child. And there's quite an age difference between them, and he's decided he thinks he's too old to start a family, to have another child. So, well, I'm leaving you. Is that love? Is that love? It's not love. The old style of marriage was, around this area where we live, was when I come home from work, my dinner better be on the table. And if it isn't, there'll be trouble. Is that not true?
Yeah.
Is that not true? That's not love. That's control. No matter what happens, no matter what sort of day you've had, my dinner better be on the table, or there'll be trouble. No, that's not love. That's the emotions that people call love. That's the eros type of love, you know, the old Cupid love, you know, shoots the arrow and, oh, fallen in love. You know, the girls are like it, aren't they? Oh, I've just seen this boy. Oh, he's gorgeous. Oh, I'm in love. Like, what? You know? It's true, isn't it? Eh? Oh, okay. You've not got to that bit yet, then. I'm hoping you don't. You see, what you have to remember is you can fall in love with a look, but in 20 years' time, it don't look like that anymore. You know? It now becomes bags under the eyes. And instead of being this, you know, hourglass figure, it now becomes this pear-shaped figure, you know? He's like, well, the girl that I married, she was like, whoa, I mean, she was, gorgeous. And now today, the girl I married, she's like this. I need to swap her for another one. That's not love, is it? It's lust. Love says, I don't care what you look like, it's what's inside that matters. It's who you are. You see, the outside of you is not you. Do you get that? The outside of you is not you. Whether you've got straight teeth or crooked teeth. When we were kids, they didn't put braces in his mouths. So we've all got crooked teeth. But we can still love and we can still chew as food and talk. But we have to look beyond the outside and we have to look what is inside a person. I fell in love with Grace many years ago. Still in love with her. I just put a picture up on Facebook that I took of her the other day. You know, she looks stunning. She is stunning because she's mine. She's my treasure. But the most stunning thing about her is what comes from inside her. The beauty that is within. The graciousness that is within. Outward love can so often fall between war and peace. when the love of God is in our lives, you can walk into a family's house and you can recognize and know whether the love of God is there. Because do you know what it brings? It brings peace.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Charles? Mm-hmm. It brings peace. You can walk in here and you go, oh, this is a nice place. And you feel comfortable there. Some houses, they've been rowing. You know, they've had an argument. And you knock on the door, you walk in, and you go, ooh. Just fight your way in. You can cut the air. An old saying is you can cut the air with a knife. You know, when you have the real love of God in your life, Martin comes and stays with us on a weekend. He says, it's ever so peaceful here. Weren't you? You said it this weekend. It's ever so peaceful. Says, I just love it. It's so peaceful. It's not the fact that... The fact is, it's peaceful because the people that live in it are in love with one another and are at peace with one another. And so the atmosphere where we live is under our control. We control the atmosphere in we live.
Yeah.
We can go to war if we want. Not that we've ever done. It ain't worth it. But we have such a peace within our own lives. But it just comes out of us. And it attracts people. It draws people. Let the law of love from Jesus come out of you. And it will draw people to you. You will draw people to Jesus. You'll draw your mums, your dads, your aunties, your uncles, your friends. You will draw them to Jesus. Let the love begin to flow. And sometimes you just have to say, absolutely nothing, and pray for people and let God do the work. And while you're praying for them, God's working on you and me. At the same time, while we pray, He's changing us, He's shaping us, He's molding us into His very presence. Amen. So let's just remember, it's about Him living in us and we living through Him and our lives. Let the love of God flow in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.